Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth about your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly, as I must speak. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. It's good to see you all here, and yes, you are answering good morning, even though it's almost lunchtime, so good for you. It's good to see you all here this morning to welcome you back to our new programming year here at Plymouth, to welcome you to the involvement fair and the food trucks, and to our sermon series for September, and you're starting it off today, the last Sunday in August. Thorny Theological Themes. Words you may not want to deal with. I think that's the subtitle. Our first word today is discipleship. And I got a different view of that when you were reading, Lucas, because as he was reading and he's about the cosmic powers that we are striving against, and I just saw the screen of Star Wars come scrolling down, didn't you? It's not quite that same kind of cosmic powers, but we'll talk about that. This week, our communications director, Anna Broski, who is quite wonderful and has a great sense of humor and actually does have theological training as well, sent me a little discipleship cartoon since she knew that I was preaching on that this morning, and I thought I would share it with you. So picture, if you will, a young man, maybe about the age of Lucas, a young man sitting on a park bench. He's got on jeans or corduroys and a jacket, and beside him there is a backpack and a bedroll. So he's a traveler. He's a pilgrim. And sitting beside him on this modern park bench is Jesus in all of Jesus's Jesus robes, you know, the white robes and toga-looking things. And the young man turns to Jesus, they're facing each other, and says to Jesus, "Facebook?" And Jesus says, "No, I literally want you to follow me." And the young man replies, "So, Twitter?" And Jesus says, you can just almost see him shake his head, "I'm going to start over again, and you can let me know where I lose you." That's how we feel about discipleship sometimes. What? It can be a tough concept for contemporary progressive Christians. It's kind of a leftover word, maybe from your childhood, or maybe you've never even heard it before. What does it mean? It can have negative connotations. It can feel more like pressure to save the world single-handedly as Jesus' disciples. Or maybe it sounds more like good works, volunteering enough, giving enough, whatever enough is, of time, talent, and treasure. But it's more than that. It's more than passively following the latest Jesus news as if it was on Facebook or Twitter. It's about relationship. Relationship with God through Jesus, the man of Nazareth, and the risen Christ. The works, the giving of time, talent, and treasure come out of that relationship. There is a widely recognized anecdote. No one has pinned it down historically, but it's a widely recognized anecdote about President Abraham Lincoln. While he was reportedly not much of a churchgoer, he was a man of deep faith, even if it was unorthodox at times. During the Civil War, Lincoln met, as many of our presidents do, war or not, with ministers for a prayer breakfast. And at one point, one of the ministers said, "Mr. President, let us pray that God is on our side." To which Lincoln replied, "No, gentlemen," for they were all gentlemen then, "no, gentlemen, let us pray that we are on God's side." For this president knew that religion is not a tool by which we get God to do what we want, but an invitation to open ourselves to being and doing what God wants. We open ourselves to being immersed in the ways of God, so we are on God's side. And how will we know how to be on God's side? Unless we are in relationship with God. Our Plymouth mission statement affirms that we take discipleship seriously here at Plymouth. We consider ourselves disciples committed to being on God's side. Our mission is to worship God and help make God's realm visible in the lives of people, individually and collectively, especially as it is set forth in the life, teachings, death, and living presence of Jesus the Christ. Now, as any good mission statement, this states the big picture. But what about the nitty-gritty of our everyday lives? What about the nitty-gritty of our everyday and ever-changing political scene? What about the nitty-gritty of the everyday lives of the homeless, the immigrant, the stranger, the hungry, the oppressed, the enemy, whom God calls us through Jesus to name and to love as our beloved brothers and sisters? Those first century Christians in Ephesus were in a similar boat as we are when it comes to the nitty-gritty of being disciples, followers of Jesus. And Ephesians is a letter encouraging church people to stand firm. You may have heard that several times in the scripture. Stand firm as disciples in a time of persecution. You see, during the latter third of the first century of the first century, Christianity was in essence illegal. Christians confessed that Jesus was Lord, not that Caesar was Lord. They refused to make sacrifices to Caesar and Caesar's gods. The Roman Empire was not the be-all and end-all for them. First century Christians practiced pacifism and nonviolent resistance to the injustices of the empire. As disciples of Jesus, they proclaimed God's power of love that brought peace and justice. And this conflicted directly with the status quo recognition of power as military might, and with peace that was achieved through conquering the other. This is why our letter writer exhorts fellow Christians into spiritual battle, not battle against forces of blood and flesh. They were to stand firm in God's power, resisting with God's ways the systems of their society, those intricate, insidious systems that we know ourselves, that are hard to get out of, the systems that are co-opted by false power, power that works through greed, fear, coercion, and submission, rather than power that empowers people for the good of all. Now, doesn't that context sound even just a little bit familiar? I know some of us may squirm a bit at the idea of warfare at all, even if it's spiritual. And we know that Christians throughout the centuries are not blameless when it comes to being caught up in false power and fear. Our Christian history is checkered with wars fought supposedly in the name of Christ, but really in the pursuit of false power for a king or a country or even the church itself. And may we all ask forgiveness for the sins of our history. The good news, my friends, is that the writer of the book of Ephesians is actually turning the metaphor of warfare and armor inside out and upside down. This writer is affirming that the life of discipleship is lived in the nitty-gritty, not in some spiritual by-and-by, but in the nitty-gritty of the best of times and the worst of times, and God is always with us. God is in our lives. The letter writer calls us to wake up and recognize God in the midst of our lives so we are on the side of God, whether or not that side makes sense to us, whether or not it's what we think it should be. This discipleship, this is discipleship, standing firm with God in resistance to false power and evil deeds. And in ironic and glorious contrast to the armored Roman soldiers who kept the peace with a spear and a sword and with external authority from the empire, we are to be immersed in God and have the internal authority of God's Spirit. So let's consider that armor that the writer exhorts us to put on. Consider what it might mean in your life to put on God's belt of truth rather than the leather belt of war. God's truth that reveals through love the true nature of the cosmos, the creation, and of each beloved child of God. How could the belt of truth inform your actions and your spirit when confronted with lies or falsehood, in the macro or in the micro nitty-gritty every day? Could knowing the truth of love help you hold boundaries, speak kindly but firmly in response, not return anger for anger? And what about the breastplate of righteousness? Now, when we put on our clothes in the morning, we don't necessarily think about putting on our clothes for protection. We might put on sunscreen for protection. Amen. Says the dermatologist. But the breastplate, you can picture it from, well, you can picture it from Roman soldiers, or you can picture it from stormtroopers in Star Wars. The breastplate of righteousness, the protective covering of God's Spirit of right living, compassion, and of justice, and of quality, equality. This informs not only our larger responses to injustice in the world, but also small acts of kindness when we might see a clerk in a store, or another student on the playground, or a coworker who has less confidence being bullied or teased or laughed at. And this is my favorite part. What about the shoes? Did you notice that it says, put on whatever kind of shoes you need to proclaim the peace of the gospel? So what are the kinds of shoes that give you the firmest foundation to be your unique self made in God's image? Think literally with me here for a moment. What are your most favorite, most comfortable shoes? Shoes that make you feel fully alive and fully who you are. Running shoes? Dancing shoes? Cowboy boots? Birkenstocks, Tevas, hiking boots or work boots, sparkly red patent leather shoes, spiky heels, sensible flats, wingtips or loafers or sandals. Our shoes can reflect the essence of who we are. So what shoes, what foundation in God's ways do you need so you that you move freely and swiftly and comfortably to proclaim God's peace with your one wild and precious life? And how is your shield of faith? Has it been formed, forged through prayer and study so that it is transparent with compassion and yet tough as nails? Our faith, our living into the mystery of God's presence, in spite of and maybe because of our doubts and questions, is our protection as we stand firm in the struggle against false power. Our shield of faith keeps us keeping on, even when we are dead tired from the struggle and exhausted to the point of despair. Our shield is God's power of love as we proclaim a message so subversive to the world of greed and false power. And with our shield, we take the sword of God. This may be the hardest one to imagine. Why would God have a sword? The sword of God, which is the word of God living in us. The word of God as God's sword, this has been wrongly translated to be the Bible, which we use with infallible laws to bash people over the head and into submission. This word of God here that the writer writes about is not the Bible bashing people. It is the word of God proclaimed, spoken, lived by you in your lives. It is your personal proclamation. How will your words, our words together, our actions, cut through division and hate with understanding and compassionate diplomacy to be the word of God in the world? Discipleship, my friends, is standing firm in this armor of God in full commitment, standing firm rather than going with the flow of culture. Standing firm in the face of false powers that threaten our world. Soren Kierkegaard, the famed 19th century existentialist philosopher and theologian, once told a story about discipleship. It seems, and I think the story's been updated a little bit, you'll see why in a minute. It seems that in a town once, long ago and far away, a town that revered and loved its fire chief as a legendary figure, there was a great fire. The fire brigade rushed to the scene, but the firemen were unable to get through the crowd to the burning building. because everyone so loved the fire chief that they had come to help put out the fire. And they were standing there, putting out the fire with water pistols, squirting at the raging fire, and then chatting a little bit, like we do at coffee hour, and then squirting the fire. And the fire chief was enraged. Get out of the way. This is not helping. Can't you see? This fire is engulfing the building. We have to work harder. And the people said, oh, we have to work harder. Our fire chief says we have to work harder. Let's squirt some more. And so they began to squirt with all their might. Well, as you can imagine, this did not help at all. It barely touched the raging fire. And finally, the fire chief was just beside himself, and he said, no, no, you must get out of the way. We need people on the front lines that are willing to put their lives on the line. The firemen who will put out this fire no matter what, with wholehearted commitment. Kierkegaard was speaking of discipleship, urging us to realize that discipleship in Christ means so much more than token levels of support to the church and to God's mission. It calls for wholeheartedness and total life commitment. So, my friends, let us pray together in the Spirit as the writer of the letter to Ephesians encourages us. Let us pray together in the Spirit for that wholehearted commitment to be disciples of God through the ways of Jesus. Let us pray together for one another, for our church as it is on mission in the world, that we may be wholehearted disciples standing firm against the false powers of the world. Amen.